36 territory in the homeland of the Métis, and we come here in the spirit of truth and reconciliation, and we offer our the guidance that we bring as a school division to ensure that our students and staff are well looked after. So welcome to everyone. I'm going to call upon Trustee Jelinski to lead us in prayer.
Thank you, Diane. Please join me in the sign of our faith, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Lord, as we join together in the work of God's kingdom, may we discover the diverse ways in which God has gifted each one of us. May we grow in love for each other and in mutual appreciation. May the Creator, who lovingly made each one of us with endless variety, teach us to cherish the beauty within and to appreciate the gift of others, and to be truly grateful for the richness that our differences bring to the lives of all of us. We ask this in your most holy name. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you, Tim. Very appropriate prayer. Trustees, you had the opportunity to take a look at your board package, and you see that the agenda is before you. So I will ask if someone will move that agenda if they so see fit. Thank you, Trustee Burscheid. I'll require a seconder for that motion. Thank you, Trustee Beckler. I will call for the negative vote. Seeing none, that motion is carried. I will ask if there is a declaration of a conflict of interest by any of the trustees at this point. Hearing none, thank you for that. Trustees, you had the opportunity to peruse the February 8th regular meeting of the board minutes. If everything is as you see fit, I will ask if there is a motion to pass that. Thank you, Trustees Toos, and I see Trustee Carrier is seconding that motion. I will call for the negative vote. That motion is carried as well. Well, we have a delegation and a special presentation today, and we are welcoming from the University of Saskatchewan, the College of Nursing, and the College of Pharmacy to speak to us about REACH, the Real Education About Cannabis and Health team. So I'll turn that over to Director Shetland, and he'll bring us into this conversation. And so we welcome our guests, and we look forward to your presentation.
Yvette, actually, you did a great job of introduction. And so actually, at this point, I think maybe Tish, I'll turn it over to you. Did you want to kind of organize the process? Or?
Sure. Thank you very much. Thank you for welcoming us. We're excited to be here. As many of you know, although I have not met all of you personally, I have worked in Saskatchewan schools within Saskatoon for more than 20 years and have really personally and professionally enjoyed my role in schools as I mentor nursing students in their community health standards of practice. Most recently, I've been involved with the creation of a curriculum resource, which has gone through the approval process at the ministry level and is now available to Saskatchewan teachers across the province. And I think that's about all I will say at this point. You know, we're really trying to give our students this experience of marketing what they've been doing. And we really welcome your open attention and then your curious questions at the end. So I'll pass it off to Taya, and Taya will be introducing a little bit more about REACH.
Hi, everyone, and thank you for welcoming us to your board meeting today. My name is Taya McKean, and with me today, I have my fellow nursing students here at St. Luke's in the Safe Ship Nursing Program, Bryn, Jaden, and Cassandra. We're also joined here today by our clinical instructor, Patricia King, who just spoke on behalf of us. Our other instructors are here with us today, and their names are Jennifer Clemmer and Ty Bittner. As fourth-year nursing students in our community health placements, we have had the opportunity to help develop the REACH curriculum, also known as the Real Education About Cannabis and Health. The REACH program was piloted by Patricia King, Jennifer Clemmer, and Polly and Carrie Mansell in 2019 in response to the legalization of cannabis in Saskatchewan. REACH is a Saskatchewan Ministry of Education approved curriculum resource for grade 7 and 9 students. The REACH curriculum resource was designed to increase student knowledge about cannabis, nurture protective factors and capacity building in decision making, promote adaptation skills and confidence, and reduce the risk associated with cannabis consumption. All right, Tish, I'll ask you to switch the slide now. So the Youth Resource contains four lesson plans with accompanying PowerPoint presentations, activities, video links, and references. I will now invite some of my fellow nursing students to speak on behalf of the lessons they have taught here at the St. Luke's School so far this semester.
Hello, everyone. My name's Jaden, and I taught lesson one of REACH to the grade seven class here at St. Luke's. And in lesson one, we focus on the students' understanding, knowledge, and attitudes around cannabis. There's four main activities in this lesson. The first is a news clip where we just introduce the topic of cannabis and talk about the legalization of cannabis. This is targeting our cognitive domain as is getting the students to think about the topic. Our second activity, we talk about some fact and fiction statements about cannabis. So this gets the students to think whether they know what is true about cannabis or they know what is false about cannabis. So some of these questions are cannabis makes it dangerous to drive, the legal age of cannabis is 19, and so on. So this has them thinking about their cognitive domain as well. Our third activity is a think, pair, share activity. So students are broken up into small groups to talk about their knowledge, science, consequences, biases, perspectives, and peer pressure around the topic of cannabis. This is targeting both our cognitive domain of learning and affective domain. And it's really setting the scene for a safe space to share their knowledge. And lastly, we do a graffiti wall where students write and draw pictures about what they had learned in the first lesson. And they can also write words and slogans about cannabis. And so this really has students reflecting on what they have learned and do a hands-on activity showing their knowledge. And this activity is also showing social norm messaging, which has been shown to have an impact on decision-making in teens.
Okay, so I'll speak to the REACH Lesson 2. That's the one I've taught here at St. Luke's School. So REACH Lesson 2 is about the physical consequences of cannabis use, and it targets the cognitive domain of learning. It is an informational lesson that involves teaching students about what cannabis is, what the different components of cannabis are, what differentiates cannabis between CBD and THC. This lesson then goes on to talk about how cannabis affects, how cannabis affects the brain and the body system, again, differentiating between the effects of CBD and THC. This lesson also explores medicinal cannabis use. The highlighted message of this lesson is that cannabis use before the age of 25 is not recommended because it can have long-term effects on the developing brain. Lesson 2 is interactive as it allows students to research and present different effects that cannabis has on the body and on the brain.
Hi, I'm Bryn, and I taught Lesson 3 on the social consequences of cannabis use that emphasizes our choices have consequences. Lesson 3 covers the topics of mental health and the links of cannabis use to schizophrenia and psychosis. It also covers the legal consequences of cannabis use, including possession and driving under the influence. And it covers the social consequences, which makes personal ties to the students' relationships with their family, friends, teammates, and employers. Lesson 3 in the social consequences of cannabis use hits the affective domain of learning. It does this by increasing the students' situational awareness through allowing the students to tie in what they are learning into what they're seeing at home. And we see the students being vulnerable and asking deep questions during this lesson.
Hi, my name is Cassandra, and I've taught Lesson 4 of REACH. Lesson 4 focuses on values, peer pressure, ways to say no, and risk reduction. It starts with a teach-back of the previous lessons and then leads into values. There's an activity where the students can ponder what their own values are, and this then bridges us into pressure, deciding what is positive and what is negative pressure, and how peer pressure can affect our values. After that, we go into a role-playing scenario that demonstrates peer pressure and ways to say no. We discuss different ways you can say no and watch a video of teens talking about peer pressure. For risk reduction, we discuss the ways you can be most safe if you do choose to use cannabis, such as having a buddy, having a plan, and using it in small amounts. The lesson ends with an open discussion about things they've learned or any questions they have. This lesson really focuses on the affective domain of learning and allows for decision-making to occur from the students.
All right, thank you, team, for sharing about those four lessons of REACH. So personally, I have found that the REACH curriculum resource has been very easy to use, and I have seen the learning that takes place in the classroom with students firsthand. Students are very engaged in learning and the learning that takes place, and they're interactive during the lessons. They have lots of questions, and they're able to demonstrate their learning. I'm a personal advocate for this resource because I did not have access to any risk reduction programs while I was in school. I went to a Catholic school in Lloydminster for both elementary and high school growing up, and the education we received was a very abstinence-based approach. I believe that it is beneficial for students to receive a risk reduction education about cannabis, and through REACH, educators can meet students with that. Just wanted to thank you again for listening to our presentation today about the REACH curriculum. If you have any questions about REACH, there's some contacts that we have on the next slide here. So for Tish King, Jen Clemmer, and Ty Bittner, our instructors. Are there any questions that anyone has at this moment that we can answer?
Trustees, any comments or questions?
I have one question, Diane.
All right, thank you, Tim, and then Deb.
How do you people handle the sensitivity that a child's, a student's parents might be consuming cannabis at home? How do you juggle that with what you teach in the classroom?
That's a really great question. I'm going to delegate one of our instructors, Ty Bittner, to answer that question.
Thank you, Tia, and hello to board members. My name is Ty. I am a clinical instructor with the College of Nursing, and I currently have a group of students in the public division, and we are here at Nutana. That's a wonderful question in regards to the parent topic, and it's one that we've actually fielded from students in the classroom. So navigating that the values and beliefs and practices of home life might differ from that that we teach in the classroom and the values that we're sharing with students and how to make an informed decision. So by no means do we impose on what decision should be made at home. However, we do pride ourselves on providing evidence-based information for youth to make a decision that is best for them.
Thank you, Ty.
Trustee Burside?
Yeah, hi, Ty. What grade level are you offering this program at?
So this program is offered for grade 7 and 9 students.
Have you ever asked them the question how many of them have actually tried marijuana already?
We don't ask this question in the program, and I'll maybe call on Ty again to explain why.
Another good question. Yeah, so we don't want to single any person or any folk out in the group who may use, who may elect to use, or who may use for medicinal purposes. As we know, there are many, many positive purposes for cannabis use, specifically that CBD component, which students may use procedure disorders, ADHD, and anxiety. My clinical and bedside practice is in the emergency room, both with adults and pediatric populations, and this is a very sound and evidence-based medicine that some folks need to use to live a quality of life that they deserve to live. So we do not ask this question to single people out. Sorry, I had another train of thought there, but it's the same now. So.
No, thank you. I wish you guys would have been there about 10 years ago because I think this is an awesome program.
Oh, that's so lovely to hear that. With the legalization of marijuana, this has definitely taken maybe not center stage, but maybe left or right of the stage in current public health practices. We do have some data too coming out of Canadian research. So the Canadian Drug Survey on Alcohol, Drugs and Tobacco, done in 2019, so the year after legalization of cannabis, told us that 18% of youth in grade 7 to 12 admitted to using cannabis in the year preceding, so in the year of 2018 during legalization. And then Statistics Canada came out with statistics 2019 that told us that 42% of youth and young adults aged 16 to 24 did admit to cannabis use as well. So it is a prevalent issue. It is something that's readily accessible in the community now that it's legalized, especially.
I just have a question about access. So we're so proud of the program of Safe Ship at St. Luke, and I would want you to know that the Saskatchewan School Boards Association every year has a Premier's Award of Excellence. And so all the divisions, all 27 divisions, bring forward programs, and they are adjudicated, and There's someone who usually, who is the recipient of some dollars and a grant. And so we didn't win, but we just want you to know too that how much we appreciate all the work that has gone on at St. Luke and the program, and that we had put forward Safe Ship and the example that you have all set there. And we are proud of all of the efforts that you make. So I just wanted to let you know that as well.
Thank you. It would definitely not be possible without Patricia King.
Well, thank you, Patricia. So I guess I would ask the question. We have it at St. Luke and at BJM. So are these resources available for the rest of our schools to be able to access, even though there wouldn't be, you know, the leadership that would come from you because you couldn't spread yourself into 50 schools? I know that. So is there that opportunity?
Yeah, so the REACH curriculum resources are available under the Saskatchewan curriculum website under grade 7 and 9. It's in the health education section under additional resources. It's easy to access. And yeah, it's definitely, we're actually doing a teacher orientation this Wednesday on the 17th to get teachers involved in teaching REACH. It is geared towards them being the leaders and educating their students about this. So yeah, it definitely does not need to be nursing students who are delivering this program.
And actually, okay. I would add that the curriculum resource has been created for teachers, not for nurses. And so it, you know, we spent a lot of time looking at the curricular outcomes within grade 7 and 9, mapping every activity, every instructional, you know, piece of information to one of those curricular outcomes. And, you know, one of the advantages, I suppose, of the schools that have nursing students in there, it's a win-win, right? Because our students, from the nursing perspective, they get the experience of becoming health educators, and then obviously the populations that we are targeting benefit from seeing nurses in their schools. But we always do that in collaboration with teachers regardless, right? So there's a shared ownership between educational teachers and nursing health educators. I think the curriculum resource has significant utility for across the province. And so, you know, to craft it, to draft it, to pilot it, to edit it, to redraft it, repilot it, re-edit it, submit it for submission has been quite a long haul. And I would agree that the time is ripe for this. We have a lot of kids vaping cannabis in our high schools. And, we really want to give them information that will help them make the best decisions. And we know from outcome research that abstinence and fear-based approaches don't engage youth. And so it's really important that teachers feel comfortable with this kind of dialogue. And as Taya mentioned, when we create the teacher orientation for this Wednesday, we're hoping to have some really important dialogue with some of the teachers across the province about how to meet their kids where they're at. Because we know that this substance is at their kitchen table.
Great. Well, thank you so much for your presentation. I'd also like to make mention of, you know, how important one of the hallmarks of Catholic education is giving all of our students that opportunity to change the world by what they learn. And I think that there's been such excellent work that's been done at St. Luke. I know that there's been fundraisers that the kids that belong to SHIP have done. There's been, you know, engagement within their schools and outside of their schools. And so I think I thank you from the board that we thank you for the excellent work you're doing at the same time being able to give those supports to all of our students and to give them, you know, the opportunity to see their responsibility on making the world a better place. So thank you for all your good work. We appreciate you joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you, Trish. All right, trustees, thank you for that great presentation. That was very good. You see, we don't have any post-meeting assignments or consent items. We'll proceed right to 6.1, which is the pandemic response update. Director Shatlin, has there been anything new happening lately?
Oh, no, nothing. It's just been all quiet on the Western Front.
Fortunately, we're in the Eastern.
Yeah. Sure.
Okay, just a few, the report is in there, and again, the time of the driving is some of this, certainly some things have changed, so I'll just highlight a few kind of new additions to this since the report was generated. Regarding the first point and the level of cases in the province, and more specifically in Saskatoon, it's true we have seen a slow tapering off of case counts within the context of the city of Saskatoon. Provincially, again, that number has come off of the peaks that had been happening in the December-January timeframe, but it still remains, a significant number of cases per day, and at the highest rate in the country in terms of number of cases per day per capita. We are seeing a specific challenge emerge in Regina in the last week. Case counts there are on the rise and going in a different direction than the rest of the province. As they have begun testing more specifically for the VSOs or the variants of the other variants that are around, they are finding that the particularly the UK variant has seems to have taken hold in Regina and is very active there. One new change as of Friday here, you'll recall what has been the isolation period for most close contacts is around the 12-day period. With the challenge in Regina right now, they've moved that to a 24-day isolation period. And then there's a regime of testing in and around that time, over that period of time. I'm not sure if that slows down or reduces the amount of isolation, but they're taking the situation in Regina very seriously, and it's something that we need to be paying close attention to as well. And seeing what's transpiring in Regina, as we know, it will likely make its way here in a timeline, similar timeline. Vaccine rollout. We're all understanding what's going on there. That seems to be something that's very changing daily. Lots of information coming around that, and challenges with supply, challenges with questions about certain vaccines, and where we're at in our province in terms of the booking for those vaccines. But things definitely are moving much more quickly in the last couple of weeks than we had seen up until this point. Rapid tests are available now in the province. They're just kind of ramping up capacity in that regard. I'm not sure if there will be much happening within the context of education for that, and likely would be a circumstance where if there was an outbreak in a school, or so either at the request perhaps of the local MHO or else by the request of the school division, it might be an opportunity for some rapid testing. We'll see how that proceeds in the coming weeks. Just a reminder that the vaccination for youth, there are no vaccines that are currently approved for use with below age 18. There's one now down to 16, and it's anticipated that there will be vaccines available, but that process to make them kind of approved for that age category is still underway, and we don't have a window for when that would be concluded. We anticipate though that it'll be busy until at least that late June timeframe, and just in dealing with the adult population. And that, at best case scenario, we'd have something available for children and youth, into the fall. So we don't know what the impact that will have with respect to restrictions and pandemic responses for us in the fall. Certainly something that we're looking closely at. Grad guidelines, again, not much change there. We anticipate some greater clarity in that regard after Easter. And just a reminder that our high schools with an enrollment of greater than 600 remain at level 3. Again, lots of interest from all communities to get back to level 2 as soon as we can. However, we do need to keep a close eye on what's going on in our communities with rates of transmission, and in specifically related to what we're seeing going on in Regina right now. The last bullet is actually incorrect now. As of Friday, we received an initial supply of additional disposable masks from the government procurement. The reusable masks and face shields have not arrived yet. However, we have seen the delivery of the disposable masks. In terms of funding, there was an announcement as of Friday that there was some extension of funding, a small amount of funding into the fall. So we're looking closely at what that funding opportunity provides for us as we begin to settle down in over the coming months, what the restrictions will look like for us in the fall and our associated responses and costs associated with that. So those are the updates with respect to pandemic. And if there's any questions or anything, I'm more than happy to deal with those.
Thank you, Greg. Trustees, any comments or questions? Trustee Stoops?
As far as the rapid testing goes, that's going to be performed in the schools?
It can be, yes. So these are, the technology is the machine to interpret the test is located right there. Okay. It takes 15 minutes from the swab to having the results. And so someone operating the machine can perform 6 tests an hour.
So would that be teachers or would that be?
Right now it's looking to be, they're trying to find a third party provider that would provide that opportunity. Yeah. You actually don't need to be a medically trained person to do this. You just need training on that specific machine and process. The swabs themselves are, my understanding is they're a nasal swab as well, but they're not, nothing like the other one. They're just don't go very far in, lack of a better term, and can be done again by pretty much anyone as long as they're trained on the process. But we would not be looking at our staff. They're very engaged and fully engaged in their work, and this would be an additional piece to that.
Okay, I'm not seeing any other questions or concerns at this point. So trustees, the recommendation that the Board of Education receive the information as presented in the Pandemic Response Update, March 15th, 2021 report. I'll need someone to move that motion. Thank you, Trustee Elliott. I'll need someone to second that. Thank you, Mr. Jelinski. I'll call for the negative vote. Hearing seeing none, that motion is carried. Thank you for the update and again for the good work that the division is doing to keep our students and staff safe. 6.2, the Prime Consultant Services, the NRFP 7905, St. Francis Replacement School Project. And we'll have CFO Lloyd and Superintendent Gord Martel and Superintendent Francois Rivard lead us in that conversation.
Thanks, Chair Boyko. Over the last 2 months, administration has been working with Saskatoon Travel Council, Ministry of Education, SAS Builds, and the project management team to select a prime consultant for the St. Francis project. Our project was part of the 12 provincial school projects that was announced last week, and we went through the NRFP through a provincial process, which is quite different from what we've done in the past. Based on that process and the feedback from the different groups, the highest ranking proposal for our project based on interview, financial proposal, technical evaluation was Kinderchuk Agri Architecture as prime consultant and Tuwal Architecture as Indigenous lead. The recommendation today would provide the necessary approvals to finalize the contract and to request approval from the Ministry of Education as they are listed on this contract as the second client, the first client being the school division and the partnerships that we have as part of the school. That concludes my overview, but I'd invite Superintendent Martel or Rivard if I've missed anything, or if the board has any questions, we can take those at this time as well.
May I ask a question? Yes, I was just waiting to see if Superintendent Martel or Rivard, are they coming on at all?
No, thank you. I've got nothing more to add, Chair Boyko.
Okay, thank
you. I would agree. Same thing here as well.
Okay, thank you. Trustees Okreski or Becky?
I was just wondering, so have they begun working together already?
The two architectural firms have met a few times, and they're just waiting for contract finalization before moving forward.
Yeah, and their presentation was done as a team.
Yeah. But they've already, okay.
Okay, trustees, I'm not seeing any other questions that you have for CFO Lloyd or the superintendents. So we see the recommendations that the Board of Education enter into a contract with Kinderchuk Agri Architecture for the detailed design and contract management of St. Francis Cree Bilingual School pending ministry approval. So I will need someone to move that motion. Thank you, Trustee Stoops. I'll need someone to second that motion. Trustee Burscheid, I'll call for the negative vote. That motion is passed. So exciting times. Thank you, gentlemen. We'll look forward to all the good work that's going to happen. Did you say you could have this school built in a year and a half? I guess not. I'm not hearing an affirmative. So anyway, I know you'll do the good work that needs to be done, and we'll look forward to the exciting opening of St. Francis.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right, trustees, Superintendent Lloyd is now going to lead us in the transportation monitoring report.
Thank you, Chair Boyko. Included in the report is the overall number of students that we bus each day, and that number of 4,419 students is those students registered to take a bus within the city of Saskatoon or a school in Saskatoon. That number is about 1,000 less to what we had last November 2019. So we transport right now 1,000 less students, and really that is due to families transporting their own children at this time. We're really encouraging our families to transport if at all possible, and having less students on the buses has allowed us to really space out our students as much as possible. So a big thank you to those families that are able to support the efforts that we are doing right now. Another interesting stat on the summary report is utilization of buses. And usually in past years, we always really wanted to ensure that number is as high as possible, because that means that we are as efficient as we can be. And in the past, we've been upwards of 85 to 87%. And as you'll see in the report, it's about 62%. And that was another item that we really focused on, trying to keep as many buses that we were using in past years due to the pandemic and be able to space out children on buses. So that means that there is less students per bus, but that allows us to space out students where possible. So that was done thanks to the ministry for providing funding for pandemic relief and sustaining our enrollment funding. We're able to keep our transportation system very similar to what it was in past years. Just also want to acknowledge bus drivers in our administration, our bus companies, Hertz Northern Bus and First Student. They've been really supportive in the pandemic efforts, having the buses sanitized, ensuring drivers are keeping real solid scene plans. We go to those scene plans quite often if there is a case at a school, and we use that, and public health uses that for contact tracing, and they've been very diligent about updating that when needed, so appreciate their work on that as well. And then lastly, Hertz Northern Bus, they purchased a number of new buses last year, end of last year, and you'll see the average age of fleet is now only 5 years, where usually it's about 10 years. So we do have newer buses from Hertz Northern Bus, sorry. So appreciate that, just it helps with reliability and other factors as well. So overall, things are running quite smoothly, and we continue to provide that service to our families. Concludes the report. If there's any questions, Chair Boyko.
Thank you, CFO Lloyd. Any comments or questions at this point? Trustee Stoops.
Joel, you mentioned something about at the beginning of your talk here, encouraging parents to not be on the school buses and get their families or the kids to schools. Are you implying that we're encouraging parents to drive their kids to schools?
We were, or if they're able to get there on their own through bike or walk or other healthy alternatives, we were encouraging that as well. But we have been, especially at the beginning of the pandemic, really encourage families where possible to transport themselves. It does create a little bit of congestion at the school level. We recognize that. But our hope was to just be able to space out students as much as possible on the school buses.
I haven't had the opportunity to be at any of the new elementary schools either at the beginning of the day or at the end of the day. But I, for some reason, I got caught a few times within the last year or so driving by Holy Family. And I mean, if there had been improvements made to the new elementary schools, I'd sure like to hear about it in regards to, you know, the positioning of, drop-off points and that. Do we know anything about the new schools compared to what we have had in the past?
Actually, even during non-COVID times, traffic congestion has been a concern for us, especially new schools. They're such large schools now compared to what we used to build. So we've been working with the city to try to minimize that congestion, ensure there's safe bus parking, drop-offs. I can speak from personal experience. My children attend Sankateri. It's definitely a busy place, and you have to get there quite early to get a spot close to the school, as my wife can contest. But overall, we try to ensure it's safe as best as possible. We work with the city to look at signage as well. But it's something that's in the back of our minds as we look at new schools and really try to encourage the city to expand parent pickup drop-offs areas, bus pickup drop-offs. You'll see in the new schools, a lot of them, that there's three sides now that's dedicated towards that traffic flow. But a lot more improvements can be done in those areas. We recognize that, and we keep advocating for that as well with the city.
Okay, trustees, I'm not seeing any other comments or questions. So the recommendation is that the Board of Education receive the information as presented and approve the transportation monitoring report. I'll need someone to move that motion. Thank you, Trustee Beckler. I see Trustee Elliott is seconding that motion. I'll call for the negative vote. That motion is carried. Thank you, Joel, and for your team and the good work that First Student Canada and Hertz is doing. And I think all of us appreciate the work that our bus drivers are having to do as being on the ground and working with all of our students in conjunction with our staff. So pass along our appreciation to them as well.
Will do. Thank you.
All right. Superintendent Lloyd, you seem to be the only one working today. Along with Superintendent Francois, you're going to tell us 6.4, the modular classroom construction and relocation for 2021.
Thanks, Chair Boyko. On February 16th, the School Division issued a request for tender for three separate modular classroom projects. Two of the projects were two new classrooms at both Holy Family Catholic School and St. Joseph High School. The third project was a move of a classroom from Pope John Paul to Holy Cross High School. Those three separate tenders were issued. We received pricing back, and the lowest bid for all three projects were Carmont Construction, and we have worked with them last year. They did four of the five new classroom builds that we did, and it was quite a successful venture, so we appreciate that continuity from year over year. Probably the only piece that is a little concerning is just around costs, as we continue to advocate to the Ministry of Education to recognize our full cost of these programs. For a simple new build that doesn't require any corridors or stairwells, we've been pretty successful in keeping that within budget. Whenever there is some additional requirements around two-story stairwells, we are finding that the board has to fund that difference. It's not funded by the ministry. So we continue to advocate on behalf of the school division to recognize those costs as well. Superintendent Rivard, is there anything I missed or anything you'd like to add?
Nope, not at all. Thank you.
That concludes the report, Chair Boyko. If there's any questions.
Thank you, CFO Lloyd. Trustees, any questions at this point? Trustees Zakreski-Rebecki?
Yeah, thanks, Trustee Boyko. A question. I just recall in previous conversations, Jim, you had mentioned, I believe, that when St. Gregory had their modulars done, that they, once they were there, they couldn't be removed. Is that still the case? That once you do start doing two-story modulars, that you cannot move them to another site?
The ones that we have now, the new ones that we're doing, you do have the ability to take them off. It's not always a clean removal. Usually it's more than just one unit if you are doing it, but we do have that capability now. And with the St. Francis, the McPherson site, we will be removing some of those two-story relocatables off and relocating them to different schools. But there is a compatibility issue we have to ensure. And that's where the good work the board's been doing over the last 20 years, building a certain type of mod with a certain design, really allows us to move those. But of course, we can't move them to 1980 relocatable kind of structures, but we do have quite a bit of flexibility. And that's in Pope John Paul, the Holy Cross, is an example of that, but we do have other examples, like St. Luke might be an option for two-story in the future and be potentially ones that we already have in place in other schools.
Thank you. All right, I'm not seeing any other questions or concerns at this point. So we have two recommendations. We'll go through the first one, that the Board of Education award the tenders for modular construction to Carmont Construction Limited for the tendered price of $654,843 plus applicable taxes for Holy Family Catholic School and $651,659 plus applicable taxes for St. Joseph High School. And I'll require someone to move that recommendation. Thank you, Trustee Beckler. I'll need someone to second that. Trustee Burscheid, I'll ask for the negative vote. That motion is carried. Thank you, Joel and Francois, for the good work on this file. All right, no expressions of gratitude on our bulletin
Chair
board,
Boyko?
Or?
Were they together? There were two motions?
How did I forget that? Sorry, I said I was going to do it. Thank you. All right, that the Board of Education award the tender for the modular relocation to Holy Cross High School to Carmont Construction Limited for the tendered price of $122,440 plus applicable taxes. Now I'll need someone to move that motion. Trustee Carrier, I'll need someone to second that. Trustee Seuss, all those for the negative vote. That motion is carried.
Question. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I should have asked this question before, but just a quick comment here. Is Carmont, is this normal that we get the builders to do the moving? Like Carmont is not per se in the moving business, so they contract, subcontract it out, or do they have equipment now?
The actual move, I believe they contract that part of it out, but they will do the disconnect and then the site prep of the new location, and we reclad the relocatables as well, and they look after all that work. So the actual transportation they would contract out, but all the other work, readying it and completing it on site, would be done by Carmont. Our past provider we used doesn't do this work anymore, so we did receive a number of proposals, and Carmont was the least expensive. But again, we have a high degree of surety that they'll do a great work based on last year's projects.
Yeah, well that's good. I'm glad I asked that question, because I guess we do need the builders to, disassemble the unit and that type of thing. Eh? Where builders or movers don't do that. Eh? So
exactly, okay. Yeah. And we try to also, when we bring a relocatable over, if it's a little bit older, try to do a little bit of a reno and make the cladding outside match the school cladding as well, so that it doesn't look like it's a one-off. Yeah. So they support that work as well.
Thank you, Joel.
All right, thank you for that good conversation. We'll proceed now to reports and good names. The report of the Director of Education, Greg.
Great, just a few things to report on today. As we have ongoing work with our Greater Saskatoon Catholic Schools Foundation, again, huge thanks to the board and all of their work in support of the work of Catholic education in our communities. But they are engaged in a process of renewal and kind of renewing their strategic plan and their overall focus for their work. They were with an outside facilitator to help that process. And so Chair Boyko and I have been meeting on a fairly regular basis with their leadership just to help support them through that process. So I look forward to what their new strategic plan and focus emerges at the end of their discernment, and look forward to, again, a bright future of working together. Provincial education plan, you know, there's a one-year plan under development right now, and so we'll continue to give feedback and work through that process as we near the end of this year. Just Safe Positive Schools, who continues to be a very active group within the division, again, principal-led. It's been a long-standing leadership capacity within the principal group that they've been leading the initiatives in the division around Safe Positive Schools, of course, with the central office support with that. One of the elements they wanted to tackle in this springtime was support specifically for our school-based administrators, in particular our principals, who they know who have been shouldering a lot of load in this these COVID times, and the principalship can be a pretty lonely position at times, particularly when there's so much challenge and pressure and tension. So they provided a day or half day of support specific for our principals that we did, again, a bit virtual, but by all accounts, that was well received and appreciated by our school-based admin. Lo and behold, it's Lent still, hard to believe. When the Byzantine Rite, you're saying you're actually just getting rolling.
Today.
You start today. So, but it's unfortunate that we aren't able to, as with Christmas, mark and prepare and celebrate in the ways that we have come to appreciate in our traditions. However, our schools are still working at finding ways to observe Lent in good ways and prepare for the Great Feast of Easter. And then, of course, post-Easter, we'll find ways to celebrate. But again, the pandemic has impacted a lot of things, and Lent preparations as well. But just to know that the schools are working their way through that as best they can, as they did with Advent preparations. With that, I think those are just a few points I wanted to raise today.
Thank you, Director Shatlin. trustees, board activity or linkage that you wanted to report? Everything is going good with school community, Catholic School Community Council meetings. I think I have two today, St. Francis and St. Edward's actually today. And Hudson and I were part of Holy Cross last week. And I think that that worked very well. Hudson, that was your first one, I think, that you attended, high school-wise?
First high school.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Trustee Zakreski, Rebecca?
I just wanted to make a comment to commend the schools for how they're handling attending the services online and whatnot. It's just incredible how they've really made the adjustments to, you know, allow the students to be a part of the actual morning services at Mass at some of the campuses that can happen. It's just, technology is amazing for that. So it's great to see that.
All right, no convention reports at this point, so we'll go right into the committee and partnership reports. So our joint operations with Horizon School Division, Trustees Burscheid and Stoops.
Later this month.
All right, thank you. Together in Faith and Action, Trustees Jelinski and Biblo.
Thank you, Diane. We met on March the 4th, and it's the second meeting we've had this term since COVID started. So it's been basically a full year. So we had the whole committee. It was really gratifying to have the whole committee there, in particular Father Kevin, because he's so busy, but he joined us for the entire meeting. So it was a great meeting. We're making progress on reviewing and renewing the TFAC actions. So we spent a lot of time brainstorming ideas, and we're going to finalize that, I hope, at the next meeting, and then after that bring it back to the board for its review and hopefully approval. Anything else, Hudson, on that?
I have nothing to add, thanks.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. Greater Saskatoon Catholic Schools Foundation, Trustees Zakreski, Rebecca, and Elliot, anything that you'd like to share with us?
Not at this time. We have a meeting on Wednesday.
All right, thank you. The Mamau Kamatuan Saskatoon Tribal Council, we'll look forward to the good work that continues within the division, so nothing to report at this time. We're looking forward to a future meeting on the 26th of March. Comfy and GSCS Educational Alliance, the same thing. We're looking forward to future meetings. Lots of good work is being done under the auspices of the Governance Committee for the working group, and so we're all pleased at the good relationship that we have with St. Michael's. The Saskatchewan Catholic School Boards Association, Trustee Jelinski, anything to report?
Nothing at this time, thank you.
All right, thank you. And the Saskatchewan School Boards Association, our board chair council meetings continue on Thursday, and four times a year the board chairs council meets as a separate entity. The Thursday meetings occur after the response planning team meetings go on the Tuesday, and the Thursday we have those board chair reports that come from that meeting. So that continues to be a really good conduit, and I hope, you know, we try and share the minutes on what goes on at those meetings so that we try and stay as informed as possible. The Saskatchewan School Boards Association Spring Council meetings will be held virtually again this year in April. So again, just encouragement for participation in that capacity as well. The School Boards Association also will have a response after the April 6th budget will be brought down. And the conversations are around the board chairs council table asking for how boards want this SSBA to represent them. And we're having that conversation as well before April 6th. So we'll see where that goes. All right, that concludes our reports and good news. I'll ask for the closing prayer to be led by Trustee Jelinski.
Good, I couldn't find my microphone. Okay. This Saturday is the first day of spring, so my prayer is entitled Springtime. So let us begin with the sign of our faith. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Your message of hope to a world tiring of winter's starkness, longing for that first crocus to push through snow's icy blanket and spread its leaves like arms outstretched to its creator. Springtime, our yearly reminder, if we needed one, that to a world that was dark and cold, a world devoid of love's sweet warmth, you sent your Son to break through the sin's icy blanket, and arms outstretched on a cross, he brought all of us hope. St. Paul, pray for us.
Pray for us.
Son, Holy Spirit, amen.
Thank you, Trustee Jelinski. I will require someone to adjourn the meeting. Thank you, Trustee Beckler. The meeting is adjourned just before then.